Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I want y'all to know that the way the enemy is trying to play me lets me know the level of resistance that I'm getting recording this episode lets me know that it's necessary. This is my third time literally hitting record. I'm sharing this in real time because I want y'all to understand. This is my third time hitting record. It is midnight. I'm still in my scrubs. Okay? It is midnight, Wednesday morning. Y'all know I don't be recording like this, okay? By 11:59, it's out. I don't understand. But what I do know is that this episode is going to be pivotal for y'all. Over the last week or so, God has really been showing me some insight on the way in which the enemy has been attacking his children. Really more so how the enemy has continued to be able to have access to your mind. We all know we love Auntie Joyce Meyer Down bad for the battlefield of the mind. That book literally was written in 1995. I was five. And to this day, it is still relevant. To this day, it's still providing wisdom. However, what I think that we don't do a good job at as believers is we get that concept, but we don't continue to dive deep. We don't continue to revisit and allow for the concepts and the processes that are taught to really be relevant to us. And because we don't continue to dig deeper, because we don't continue to ask God to reveal his word to us, a lot of us are still dealing with the same disease, but it's a different symptom. What do you mean, Charlotte? Hear me good. I have seasonal allergies. Sometimes I am out here wheezy F baby, need my inhaler. Okay. Other times I'm sneezing. Other times I have itchy eyes. The symptoms are different and they're subtle differences, but underneath it, it's the same hypersensitivity. It's the same disease, the same condition rather. Allergic rhinitis. A lot of us have thought that we have overcome different conditions. Case in point, me reading The Bait of Satan, I just knew in my heart of hearts, I didn't have no beef with nobody. But when you really start diving deep into offense, and you really start understanding what God has to say about it and what it actually looks like, I had to check myself real quick. That ability that I have to where, like, if somebody does me wrong, I'm not mad. I also just have a keen ability to act like they don't exist, right? I have an indifference about them. That indifference, by definition, is hatred. I said, oh my gosh, Lord, help me. Because you think that you have been cured of a thing. You think that the way that you're handling it, you have purged a thing. But the enemy has gotten so good at concealing and deceiving us. And so you are in these cycles and you're like, God, I know that I've had a level of deliverance. Like, what is going on? Deception. In the Bait of Satan, John Bevere talks about how there's two categories of people. People who've actually been hurt and people who think that they've been hurt and really believe that. He said that he doesn't really talk about those who are being deceived because they really think that they're right. And there's no scarier place to be wrong, but believe that you're right. And when you really think about it, deception is the principal tool that the devil uses. It is the print, like his blueprint honestly hasn't changed. The issue is that he is so crafty that it's subtle. He's so good at it because he's been doing it for millions of years that he has been able to repackage the symptom. And so you think that you're dealing with a different disease. You're like, oh, it must be the flu. And you are now going down this rabbit hole. And really, it's no, girl, it's still your allergies. You need to get a mattress cover. It's giving dust mites. Like you need to, you are being exposed and the symptoms is the same disease. But if you're not careful, if you're not vigilant, if you are not being an active participant in your relationship with God and asking him to reveal these things, you will be ensnared. When you look at the scripture where it talks about be mindful of not being ensnared by the schemes of the enemy. A snare was a trap that was used with a noose to catch birds. It would lure you in and trap you. And what God has shown me is that the enemy shows up in so many different ways that we are unaware of, that there are so many symptoms of deception that we are unaware of, that we have been lured away. Talking about things like demonology and talking about things that are these big principles and they wow you and they woo you and they lure you from the actual truth where Jesus says that if we remain in his word, that we shall know the truth and that same truth will set us free. Isn't freedom the opposite of being trapped, being ensnared? Okay. So over the next several weeks, we are going to go over and expose the warfare plan of the enemy, starting first with deception. Deception undermines our faith. It undermines our Christian worldview. A lot of us don't have even an accurate or biblical Christian worldview. The way that you look at God, the perspective that you have, you've been deceived by false doctrine and your traditions, you've been deceived to where you don't think about God in your relationship first, you think about the results first. And so now you feel like if you're not having results, results being results in your business, money, the things that you want, results in your platform being grown. If you don't see results, you think that you're disconnected from God. But the whole point of this is relationship. So even us being deceived and thinking that our faith should be results focused when it's relationship focused. And then the results are then birthed out of that. The good works are a result of my relationship with God. But we've been deceived by hustle culture. We've been deceived by prosperity gospel, deception. It's throwing off our faith. It's undermining our relationships. It's undermining our emotional and mental health. And so I want us to really see how deception impacts our minds and the ways that you can guard yourselves from the tactics of the enemy. Now, I want y'all to know that y'all gonna hear me clicking on my computer because I wanna make sure that we're diving deep, okay? I don't want you to think that I'm just saying stuff and there's not scripture to back it up. How do I know that this is the primary tool that the enemy uses? Well, first of all, we see him deceive Eve in Genesis 3. But deeper than that, in John 8:44, Jesus talks about people who are liars and how the truth will set us free. Specifically in John 8:44, when he is correcting the Pharisees, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." If someone is your father, this is the person who imparts life into you, who raises you, who you act like, right? This is the origin. This is the source. Like, my father is the origin of my life, okay? Like, I have part of his DNA in my body. And so if somebody is the father, he is the original source. Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, it's a lie, a falsehood, an untruth, a willful misrepresentation." The same word in the Greek, a lie, is to embrace the illusion, the opposite of living in genuine reality. Whenever he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar. He is a liar being someone who distorts, someone who misleads. And in this scripture, in 1 John 1 and 10, this same word is used and it focuses on the results of denying sin. So you're lying to yourself and it deepens your own self-delusion. And now your heart is hardened. Now your mind is hardened. This is why we talk about strongholds. Strongholds, there's two different words used in the Greek, but a stronghold is a wall. It's a barrier. And for the believer, and when you're talking about the battlefield of the mind, it is something that isolates you. You are now imprisoned because you think you are correct. This is why John Bevere was like, "No, I'm not even touching that." Because the fact that you think that you're correct, when you're not even willing to question what you see. And you're not even willing to compare it to the word of God. You're not even willing to self-examine. You're deceived. We can't even talk about you being offended because you're deceived first. You have to make sure that you really understand the depths of deception and how far the enemy is willing to go. This dude offered Jesus, the Son of God, who he knew who he was, offered him stuff like kingdom, like material things. And this is God. He created everything. Do you know how delusional and how committed you have to be to lying? We have to understand who we're actually dealing with. The truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. We have to understand that the enemy is going to mislead you from God's truth. And in order for him to mislead you from God's truth, that means that he has to be well-versed in the truth. So you see him in Matthew 4 challenging Jesus with scripture, but it's out of context. The devil was the first person to gaslight somebody. You have to understand that deception has so many forms. It is The symptoms show up so many ways. So you have things like bold-faced lies all the way to manipulation. And this is why in Ephesians 6, Paul tells us, hey, you need to put on the full armor, friend. The full armor. And we've been studying this in the society, the impact of the different pieces and why God has called us to put on the full armor of God and what that looks like practically and not just as a colloquialism, not just a saying like, oh, girl, I got the full armor on. Okay, if you got the full armor on, why are you flipping people off in traffic? Wear your shoes a piece. Because it's not just you saying these words, but it means that you are actually choosing peace and not violence. That's what putting on the armor means. That means that you actually are intentional about walking these things out, that you're choosing righteousness because that's the breastplate. And righteousness is going to keep your heart not hardened, yet and still it's going to also keep you protected. You're putting on the helmet of salvation because that first justifies us. Jesus dying on the cross justified us and reconciled us back to God. But our mind being covered by the salvation, by the rescuing, by the deliverance allows us to be transformed in our mind. That's why salvation is up here, because our thinking has to be rescued, friend. And you have to be aware enough of that to where you challenge these thoughts that come into your mind. And I know we talked about that. But the reason that we are putting on the full armor is because we don't want to fall victim to the schemes of the enemy. We don't want to fall victim to the schemes of the enemy. In Ephesians 6:11. Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you are able to stand, meaning that you don't lose ground. He didn't say, you run. The Bible says that we rebuke the devil and he shall flee. We don't even know how to stand our ground. We don't even understand when we're under attack and when God is growing us because we are not paying attention. But it says that we are to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. This word scheme is methodia in the Greek, and it means a method. But more so, it is a method that is organized in evil doing. It's organized evil doing. Well-crafted trickery. Well-crafted. This word implies the cunning deception executed according to the plan and in an orderly procedure. This operates according to a rule or a craft that signifies well-crafted deceit. This is a deliberate plan to leave a misimpression. The reason that you have to have on the full armor, and you have to be prepared and you have to have insight and understanding, is because this is well-crafted trickery. He is organized. The enemy is organized, friend. And a lot of us are out here not living with any type of order or discipline. The truth can't allow you to be free because you're not even aware that you're in a fight or you're being deceived. So we want to recognize and understand the schemes, because that's going to be the first step of us fighting against him and overcoming. You have to know that there's a problem. In the nursing process, the first thing before we can get to diagnosing and planning and executing is for us to tighten up and do a thorough assessment. And a lot of times we are just moving based on what we've learned, based on tradition, and we're not really taking the time to assess the situation. We're so quick to react out of emotion and out of everything but discernment. Discernment is how you are able to respond and not simply react. You need to have a well-organized response. When you think about a firefighter, when you think about EMTs, they're not called first reactors. They're called first responders. They come to a site where there's an issue. There's a plan. They practice. There's drills. There's all of this training, all of these things that we are supposed to be doing in our quiet time and getting at church. And then when you leave church, you're also supposed, you're supposed to take the word back and study it for yourself, like the Church of Berea in Acts 17, and not just leave the notes in your notebook laying dormant. But you're supposed to practice with your sword, which is the Bible, throughout the week. And really, you're supposed to meditate on it day and night. Like, you should always just, in the back of your head, be wielding your sword. Because if you stay ready, then you don't have to get ready. And then you can respond instead of just reacting. And this isn't just spiritual. Being chronically lied to, being deceived, has actual physiological effects on your brain and your mental state. So if you're constantly being exposed to lies and deceit, it activates that prefrontal cortex in your brain. Your prefrontal cortex is the very front of your brain. And that's where your decision-making, your reasoning, all of that stuff is done there. Your executive function, all of that stuff is done there. When you're constantly being lied to and your prefrontal cortex is going haywire, now there's stress, now there's anxiety, and now you have this distorted sense of reality. And then you having chronic exposure to lies and deception, it desensitizes your brain. It desensitizes your brain on how it responds to dishonesty. And so it makes you even more susceptible to deceit. And it makes you even more susceptible to your trust being eroded. You can't trust God because you have been lied to and deceived so long, so chronically, that your brain is literally fighting against you. Look at what gaslighting is. Right? Gaslighting is where someone manipulates another person into doubting their own perception or sanity. We just question you so much. If you don't know where this term came from, I believe it was like a stage play or something. And it could have been based on a true story. But essentially, in the stage play, there are these lights. Back in like the colonial days, the biblical days, they used those lights where there's oil and you turn it up and turn it down. In the story, this man keeps turning down and adjusting the light. And his wife is like, did you change the light? He's like, no, what's wrong with you? Why do you think I would change the light? And he was doing it. He did it until she drove herself crazy. Hence the name gaslight. Okay. So the first person to ever gaslight is Lucy. In the garden, did God really say? Is that what he said? Because before that, she said very clearly, he said we can eat any of these trees, just not this one. We can eat from any of these trees, just not this one. But did he really say that? No, I don't know. I don't think that's what's going to happen. Gaslighting. Now there's doubt. Now there's confusion. Now he's distorted the intentions of God. And so we have to be able and ready to identify and understand and combat this tactic of the enemy. I have 10 different strategies. We are not going to get through all of them today. But what I want you to understand and what I want you to do is to go back and check these scriptures. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to evaluate how the enemy is leveraging this against you. Are you ready? The first way that you can be deceived is by lying. Direct falsehoods, fabrications. These are different lies. So there's bold-faced lies, right? Things that you can easily disprove. We already talked about John 8:44, that he is the father of lies. But remember that you continually being exposed to this kind of material, content, it starts to impact your brain. Your brain starts to struggle to reconcile between what's the lie and what's the truth. So you have to be careful what you watch on TV, where you're getting your information from, because you will allow your brain to start blurring the lines, right? You see this with people in the insurrection. They just get so indoctrinated into lies, conspiracy theories, where things look like they're a lie, but it's really a lie. But your brain, you keep exposing your brain to it. And now you can't even reconcile the truth. But we know that it's not just bold-faced lies. White lies. I hate this term because, like, if there's a white lie, what's a black lie? It's giving black jobs, okay? I don't like it, because white is supposed to give the indication that it's not bad. And a lie is a lie. The Bible doesn't say anything about a lie not being a lie. In fact, the scriptures say that the enemy and the people who serve him present themselves as an angel of light to deceive you. And we'll touch on that a little bit later in the episode. But a lie is a lie, friend. White, black, green, purple, it is a lie. Even the fact that we have utilized that is a deception tactic, that you think like, oh, it's just a white lie. I don't think that's how that works. I really don't think that that's how that works. But because the enemy is crafty and subtle, because you think that you're doing it with good intention, because you're like, oh, girl, that outfit really is ugly. You really don't. It's not flattering. You're trying to avoid hurting someone's feelings. But the Bible even talks about how getting fake applause from people, it's better to get the truth from somebody who's really your friend. No, friend. Don't wear that Fashion Nova dress. You don't look like the picture. I love you, but I don't think that you would like how you look if you saw you. And you can find a more tactful way to say it. But even these small lies cause what we call cognitive dissonance. And they still lead to stress and anxiety. Because then when y'all take pictures and your friend is like, girl, I thought you said my makeup was good and it was matching, and she looks orange in the pictures because you didn't want to hurt her feelings, you still lied. And now there is a fracture in that trust. So lying, bold face or white, it's wrong. The next kind of distortion that the enemy uses is omission. You leave out critical information in order to mislead. So that means that you leave out relevant details that change the context or understanding of a situation. If you are on TikTok or Reels or YouTube Shorts for any type of second, y'all know that you've gotten into somebody's story where something's happened, and then come to find out the next person stitches that thing and they done left out a bunch of stuff. It changes the entire context of what's going on. That is omission, and it's still deception. You want to see it in the Bible? Acts 5:1-11. When Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their property and kept some of the money back for themselves, and then said that they laid it at the feet of the apostles. We sold our house and this is everything that we've got. God didn't even require them to do that. They just lied for no reason, deceptive for no reason. Then Peter confronted them and said, hey, God told me that y'all kept some of that to yourselves and you're not being honest. They still lied. And Peter said, you're not just lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. And then they dropped dead. New Testament, Acts 5:1-11. Go read it. They omitted information and it cost them their life. In the New Testament, the same God, this after Jesus then went back, okay, he didn't ascend it. Come Acts. Like, come Acts, he is at the right hand of the Lord. Omission. Leaving things out because you don't want to deal with what's really going on, or leaving things out and omitting things. Even when we come to God, right? We're leaving things out as if he's not omnipresent, as if he's not omniscient. Like, what? In an attempt to safeguard ourselves. But even in you thinking that you can safeguard yourself from the Lord is deceptive, and you're in a dangerous place, and the enemy will utilize that. When you omit information, it even puts stress on your brain, because your brain is literally trying to keep up with what actually happened, what it actually processed, versus the things that you purposely left out. And so you see this even in common practice, like us withholding information on job interviews. You are still allowing the enemy to utilize you to be deceptive. And then you want to know why you got the job, and you like, you're over here like, oh, it's a blessing, friend. No. If you have to manipulate and be outside of God's will to get that thing, you have to stay outside of his will to maintain it. And so now you're not covered in this position, and you're like, the warfare. No, you lied. You're not even supposed to be here. And instead of you asking God for his will, you wanted this particular job for whatever reasoning that you have. It might even sound like sound reasoning to you. It still don't make it God's plan. But now you're out here exposed, and you're mad at God. But that job, that opportunity did not come from the Father, because you lied to get it. And so now you've been deceived, and the enemy has been able to do this next one. Number three, distort the character of God. He was able to distort the character of God to Eve. Oh, God just don't want you to be like him. What? We're made in his image and in his likeness. What are you talking about? I'm made in his image. He's called me his daughter. He adopted me into his family. And a lot of us have allowed things that have happened, circumstances, to distort not only your perspective of the situation, but to distort your perspective of God's character and who he is to you. And who he is, period. So when you distort something, you're twisting the facts or misrepresenting the information. This shows up in two different ways. We're either exaggerating facts or minimizing facts. So you are over exaggerating the offense, over exaggerating the injury. You're over exaggerating the details. We all know somebody who has over-exaggerated. But I want you to look and see what Proverbs 12:22 says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. I want us to look at this definition of the word abomination. It means that it is completely excluded. Something that is regarded as abominable, meaning that you are in direct violation. You are ritually unclean. This is being rejected. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And so while we understand, yes, there are ways in which the enemy can leverage warfare, we need to ask ourselves, how are we allowing even us operating in deception? We over-exaggerate it. There's this level of distorted perception. So you can't think with the mind like Christ because you are over-exaggerating. you're overstating your achievements. Yeah, girl, we was in that fight. I fought off 10 of them. Girl, please. Like, stop it. And I'm being funny, but we do this not realizing the magnitude of what we're saying. And then other people do it to us. What I'm doing in this episode is I want us to examine ways that we participate in this, because in you participating in this, you need to repent, friend, so you can get back into the refuge of the Lord. And then you can stop doing it. You can stop doing it. And now you're going to be able to spot it when somebody else presents you some foolishness. So we talked about exaggeration as a form of distortion, but what about minimizing something? When you downplay the importance or impact of an event or a fact. Yeah, they helped me or whatever, but girl, they only gave me $100, knowing good and well that they gave you $500. But really, really, friend, your pride got you out here lying. Now you're out here not taking accountability, and it's impacting your relationships and your personal growth. When you downplay, let's say you make a mistake at work, right? Because we are human beings. We all fall short. To sin simply means that we fall short. You not taking responsibility, you blame shifting and scapegoating, which we'll talk about in next week's episode, you not taking accountability does a couple of things. One, you're not operating in integrity. You're minimizing what you did. Two, you are now letting God know that you can't be faithful with a few things. So how are you about to be ruler over much? Your integrity matters. And then you lose the opportunity. You lose the opportunity to actually grow. And a lot of times we are being deceived because we don't want shame to come in, because the enemy is also an accuser. But there's no shame. Hey, look, I made a mistake. I apologize. I'm not really sure what happened, but I take responsibility. I'm going to fix it. I have had to do that. And sometimes the response isn't good. I'm going to do what I can. I apologize that this happened. And really, if I don't know what glitch in the system, a great representation of this is there were these siblings that I saw. The computer was cutting up, okay, at work. It was stressing me out real bad. The medication sent for one kid, you can see that I ordered the medication, but for whatever reason, on the back end, the second sibling, the medications did not go through. I called the mom because they said, oh, she was really upset. Okay, I get it. Not my fault necessarily. Like, I'm not the computer, but I called her. Hey, I want to check on such and such. I apologize that the medication wasn't there, and I'm not sure what was going on with the computer. Now, granted, when they were in office, she saw that the computer was cutting up and we were having to do things manually. But in that moment, that does not matter. Right now, you're upset, and I can take responsibility. I'm not going to downplay it. It really wasn't, it was really something outside of my control. However, the way that it has grown me personally is now I triple, double, quadruple check, because that's annoying. As a parent, that would be annoying. And so instead of minimizing, we have to lean into growth. We have to lean into change and correction. And our failure to do this, we operate in deception and we allow the enemy to exploit and leverage deception. And you're being tortured and tormented in your mind because on the back end of you having these distortions, of you omitting things, of you lying flat out, you're being tormented. Because it's on your heart and you know good and well you're feeling that level of conviction. And really, when the enemy does this, he misrepresents God. So you see a challenge. And instead of you believing God to be Jehovah Jireh, you're now like, God, this feels like you've forgotten about me. And you're just allowing me to be out here unprovided for, when he's never not done that. He's never not provided for you. You have what you need. It may not be what you want, but he's always giving you what you need. And I can say that 10 toes down without even knowing your situation, because I serve the same God. The enemy will have you feeling like God doesn't love you and will distort his character as if he's some type of like sadist, because he just loves watching you go through struggle. When no, if you look at the word says that we are like Christ. And we join in his suffering, that the afflictions are the very things that refine us, that we are supposed to find joy in the trial and tribulation. And joy is not based on your circumstance, but joy is based on who you're connected to. And this is why we have to stop focusing on results over relationship with the Lord. Because in that, in you focusing on results first, the enemy has now been allowed to distort and has now leveraged to distort who God is and who he's supposed to be in your life. And then who you are. That's why he kept asking Jesus if you are the Son of God. And he knew. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So you know who I am. But you're counting on me not knowing who I am. And a lot of us have fallen victim to this deception. The devil is counting on you to not know who you are. When you look at the seven sons of Sceva, they tried to go cast out some demons because their daddy was a pastor. It was not giving. Okay, it's in the Bible. But when you look at that, even the demons knew. They said, the response of the demon that was possessed in this man's body said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? So even as believers, the spirit of God that resides on the inside of us, the enemy knows already, even if you don't, he knows who God has called you to be, because he and every demon up underneath him, when the spirit of God is present, they know that they're defeated. And so deceiving you and distorting your identity and distorting the character of God is a tactic that he is going to leverage against you every single time. You're so busy being doubtful. You're so busy being disconnected that you are not plugged in, and you are literally like a cell phone with all of this knowledge, all of this access, but no charger. And so it doesn't matter how much storage and all the photos and all the things that are on the phone, if it's dead, if it's not connected to the source. Don't allow the enemy to continue to deceive you like this. Go repent for the ways in which you have operated in lying. You've operated in omitting information. You've operated in distorting facts. So you can get back in alignment with the Lord and you can get plugged in. So I'm gonna put a pin in it here. I know that this episode was longer than usual, but I pray that you really understand what God is doing. When we come back next week, I have 6 more ways in which the enemy is out here eating us up. Like eating us up. And the full list is 13 of them, but we're gonna go over the top 10. We might do all 13. I don't know. But right now, today, take this and do what God said. I love you, friend. God bless you. And I will talk to you next week.